In our few minutes together that we have tonight, I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The last part of this letter that the Apostle Paul shares with this church. And we're going to kind of wrap up tonight this series that we've been doing on communion with God. And we looked at the example of Enoch in Genesis 5. We looked at several different passages related to him in the New Testament. And I just want to kind of put it all together tonight, if I may. I want to remind you what we began this series with. That was a statement about what communion is. Communion with God refers to the intimate fellowship. Koinonia in the Greek is the idea. And spiritual relationship between a believer and the Almighty. That is communion. It is a profound connection that transcends religious practices, which are many today. We go through all these different religious, and we call it worship, but in reality, it's just an order of things that we're supposed to do, rather than the heart connected with God. That's what we're looking for, amen? We want our hearts to be connected to God, where God can speak to us and God can lead us and His will be performed in our hearts and lives, not just go through religious motions, because that's what many people sadly do. I read an article that was included in a commentary by a columnist for the Chicago Daily News, and this was written back in the 1950s. This particular reporter died in 1986, but this is what he wrote concerning modern religious revivals back in the 50s. He said, "The modern religious revival leaves me cold for this reason. Men are trying to use God in place of offering themselves to God to be used by Him. No man has a right to ask God for peace of mind unless he is founded on the righteousness of Christ." And that statement right there is so true. There are some who name the name of Christ who do not possess His righteousness. They do not possess the transformation that Christ brings into the heart. And so they're constantly asking God, "Give me peace, give me peace, give me peace." But they don't have the righteousness of Christ, which is the foundation of peace. It's Christ's presence in the life, whereby fellowship is made. Communion is made. You know, all the things that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, Dr. Watt's been taking us through the series in 1 Corinthians, and a lot of the problems and things that were related to what was going on within the church. In the second book, he comes back and he says, "Listen, the fellow that I talked to you before has repented, and yet you're still, you've got the lock on him. You're not fellowshipping with him. You need to have that restored." And as he ends the book, he kind of capitulates back to that in many ways to show the kind of love that we're supposed to demonstrate with others because of the communion that we have with God. Notice this, please, as he concludes. Verse 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect." Wow. Be perfect. The idea is that is be mature. Grow up in your spiritual life. Be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, what's the basis for all of that? How can I live in peace? How can I be of one mind? How can the God of love and peace be with me and with others? Well, there has to be a common connection. How does this light overhead, which is not on tonight, all right, I didn't turn it on. Because it's what? Is there any power flowing through those lights right now? None. No power there. But we still call them what? Lights. But there is no light coming from it because there is no what? Power. We can have many times the outward show of religion and all the things that, but lack The power. That's the connection with Christ. When I know Christ, I can fellowship with Him, and He supplies through Him His power and through His Holy Spirit the power that's needed to live the Christian life. Notice what else he says here as he concludes this letter. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. Then he finishes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. All three persons of the Trinity mentioned there. Did you see that? Now, at the moment I got saved, I was connected to all three persons of the Trinity. Not because of my merits, but simply on the merits of Christ's righteousness. I was connected. The light came on. Right? The light. What are we supposed to be in this world? So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Don't put a bushel on the light. Well, where does the power come to be the light? To shed Christ's light? It comes from our connection with the Father. What does the Father bestow? What does He say there? He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Who loved us? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So grace came by Jesus Christ. We're told that in John chapter 1. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Love, and it doesn't, please don't go out and say, Jesus Christ doesn't love us. Yes, He does. He's God. But understand the emphasis here that Paul is making with this church. You need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to enjoy the love of God. And then the third thing, did you catch it? The koinonia, the fellowship of what person? The Holy Spirit. The fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit. This, folks, is that vital power that you and I enjoy because of what Christ did for us. The person of the Holy Spirit came and brought life, and He indwelt us, and He is with us every hour of every day. I don't get Him in pieces and parts. All right? He's not poured into me like fluid and He runs out all over the place. No. He's a person. Amen? And He supplies power and He makes it possible for us to commune. Fellowship. Enoch had 300 years of communion with God. In the New Testament, we have something that the characters of the Old Testament did not have. The Spirit of God would come upon them for certain actions, but they were not possessed of the Holy Spirit. That came in the New Testament because of the work of what person on the cross? Jesus Christ. The Comforter will come. After I am crucified and risen from the dead, the Comforter will come. And who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. And so, folks, as we live our lives here upon this earth, we are to enjoy the grace of Jesus Christ every day. We're to enjoy the love of God that was demonstrated in Jesus Christ. But also the communion, that fellowship, that partnership. That's another translation of koinonia. That partnership, the one who comes alongside our advocate. That's the Holy Spirit. And we are able to enjoy all the blessings of the Trinity because of Christ and His finished work on the cross. You and I, as believers in Christ, have a wonderful opportunity. I want to conclude with just a few other thoughts here. What is our means of communion? How do I commune with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, obviously prayer. The Bible says that the Spirit of God does what for us in prayer? He's able to speak to God the Father when we don't even have the words to say. Right? What is that? It's communion, where He speaks for us. And groanings that cannot be uttered, we fail for words, but the Spirit knows what to say. So prayer. Secondly, the Scriptures. The author of Scripture is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. And the Scriptures are our strength. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, these Scripture verses are all memorized by our students at Santa Rosa Christian School, and we have preached them many, many times. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. Can you say them? What's the first one? For? Anybody remember? Doctrine. What is that? That's what God says. That's what God teaches. It's profitable for teaching, for doctrine, for the next thing. Reproof. That's whenever I don't get it right, and He comes in and shows me how I can get it right. All right? What's the third thing? Correction. Wow. All right? How to keep it right. Get it right and keep it right. And then the final thing, instruction in righteousness. Whose righteousness? It's an ongoing instruction in the righteousness of Christ. All right? Those four areas come through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit's instruction and illumination and teaching. And then worship, corporate worship, personal worship. Do you worship God? Just you and the Lord? Get alone with Him and worship His holy name. We can do it corporately as well. God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. Never outside of those realms. What are some obstacles? Well, of course, sin. I shared with the board on Monday night, Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not, what? He will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, if I don't confess that sin, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I regard it, I keep it in, the Lord will not hear me. And then the role of the Holy Spirit is so important. The Holy Spirit plays a crucial role in facilitating communion with God. He indwells believers, guides believers, teaches believers, intercedes for believers. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Too deep for words. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And so we find in Galatians 3, that great passage that gives the nine fruits of the Spirit, right? Through communion with Jesus Christ and communion with His Word and allowing the Spirit of God to teach us, we begin to grow the fruits of the new life. The fruits of the new love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Down the list of nine. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of God within the heart. Why? Because communion is there. That fellowship that we enjoy as God's children. So I want to encourage you. We've spent a lot of time over the last several weeks going over that, but this intimate fellowship is possible. It is possible. By the way, it's not mystic. I hear that quite often. Oh, we need to have that mystical whatever. No, it's just normal. It's a father with the child. Is that normal? Yes. You don't say, oh, that child loves his father. That's mystical. What? Are you kidding me? You watch kids. We put kids every day in the car. And we open the door, and those kids go jumping in the car. And mama says, hey, did you have a good day at school? And they just go at it. Now, they've been away from each other for 8 hours. And mama's been enjoying those 8 hours, you know. But they're happy to see mama. Why? Because they love each other. That's not mystical. That is normal, right? If it wasn't that way, it would not be normal, would it? Whenever there's broken fellowship with a believer, with a son or a daughter of God, when we allow sin to come in our hearts and lives and we don't confess those sins, there's something that happens there with that communion. It's not on that side over there, God's side. It's our side. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. That drawing nigh, that communion, that fellowship that you and I can enjoy in Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Enoch turned everything over to God. His future, what was going to happen. I don't think that Enoch said to God, you know what, I don't know about this going on with you thing. I got kids at home. He had a boy, Methuselah. What about Methuselah? What's going to happen to him? Can God take care of those? If we just entrust the future, can God take care of them? Absolutely. And we've seen that so many times through the years of people that we've known that's lost a father or lost a mother, and God just undertakes for them. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll flood us. He'll flood us with His grace and mercy. Our desire should be to walk with Him each and every day. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for the testimony of Enoch. I thank You, Father, for his desire at age 65 to want to walk closely with his Savior. Not in some strange or awkward mystical sense, but just wanting to be with the Lord. Wanting to spend time with the Lord. Wanting to, and communing with the Lord in His Word, in prayer, in corporate worship. A connection that was made not by us, but by God with us. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts and lives. And Lord, may we put aside all the crazy busyness of life that oftentimes consumes us, takes away meaningful communion with You, because we're spending so much time communing with all the things that we commune with in this world, which have no eternal value. Lord, I pray that You would help us to grow. As Paul encouraged the Corinthians, mature, grow in grace and in the love of God and in the communion of the Holy Spirit. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You for His righteousness, which is all we need for eternity. We thank You for that tonight. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.